Today, Turkey begins negotiations to enter the European Union. It could take 10 years for this to be accomplished, and it might not happen at all. Whatever the outcome, it will significantly change the current European Union. You're listening to Longitude. It's Monday, October 3rd, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. A historic negotiation begins today. Turkey, which has long sought to become a full-fledged member of the European Union, begins its long-sought negotiations with that 25-member consortium. The plan was approved last December, and it has taken this long now to begin the negotiations. It has not been without its difficulties already. Turkey, for a number of years, has had a relationship with the European Union as a trading partner, and certainly Turkey has also been a part of the NATO alliance for a number of years and a very key member in that part of the world. But negotiations and plans to enter the European Union are that something of a different nature, and it has already created a great deal of controversy and shown to be something that is quite divisive within Europe and even within Turkey itself. Yesterday, Turkey's prime minister warned the European Union that it faced a choice between becoming a global power or what he called a Christian club, as they struggled to overcome last-minute hurdles in the opening of the negotiations today. This overwhelmingly Muslim country, Turkey is not technically an Arab country, but it is Muslim, and it is a secular nation as well. Thousands of nationalists have demonstrated already in Ankara, both against the European Union and the government of its prime minister, Mr. Recep Erdogan, who has himself said that Europe could squander this opportunity to overcome some long-standing Christian-Muslim suspicions, which go back for centuries. And if they step back from this opportunity to commit and to bring Turkey into a full membership within the European Union, then that could set back relations between Europe and parts of the Arab world and certainly Turkey for a long, long time. There are voices within Europe that do not want to see Turkey become a full member. Austria is probably the leading nation that is insisting that the EU offer what they call, would term less than a full membership for Turkey, and give that as the only option. Other nations, such as at least the leadership of France and Germany and Great Britain, have sought to bring Turkey into the full membership of the Union. However, polls in Germany and in France show that the majority of the people seem to be ambivalent, if not outright against, Turkey becoming a member of the European Union. And not insignificantly, the current Pope, Benedict XVI, has gone on record in the past as saying that since Turkey is not a Christian nation, it really does not fit into Europe, which he looks to as the prime Christian nation of all, with its roots firmly planted in the Christian traditions. And so the Pope himself has gone on record as being against Turkey's admission to the European Union. So this whole issue is fraught with a great deal of difficulty, both within Europe and within the nation of Turkey as well. In fact, there have been demonstrations ongoing even in recent days in Turkey as a result of a number of issues, both internally, that are taking place there. One of the problems that has long plagued Turkey, and it's now come out in recent days, is a problem that goes back to 1915, when what was then the Ottoman Empire was breaking up during World War I and at the conclusion of World War I. But in 1915, for a period of time, there was a great Holocaust in Turkey of its own, where hundreds of thousands of Armenians were killed. Turkey has not been completely forthcoming over the decades since then with all the records and with a full disclosure of what exactly took place and who was involved in that matter. And in recent days, there have been demonstrations against a group of academics in Turkey who have been wanting to open talks and discussions that would bring out a full hearing and airing of this historic drama, this historic episode of Turkey's past, in order to set the record straight and to make that a part of Turkey's entrance into the modern European nations itself. Now, some of the European nations, such as Austria and Germany as well, but even less so in France, have brought this problem of the Armenian Holocaust up in, as a part of a problem that needed to be addressed. To give Germany credit, they have referred to their own Holocaust against the Jews and how they have handled that in the post-World War years as evidence that Turkey needs to come clean and bring out a full disclosure of what took place in that 1915 episode going back to that time. Some of the partners and some of the reasons probably that Turkey, as well as some of the other powers, Russia included, do not really want to see a full airing of this is because it would probably require a rewriting of certain historical parts of Turkey's more modern history and that period of time, especially with the great powers that took place and the dealings with not just Armenians, but even the Muslim populations of Europe. And to get to the full knowledge and understanding of what took place behind the scenes in that time would be quite a remarkable event. And it might even bring some embarrassment to some of the major powers today, such as Russia, who had a role to play back in those years in the breakup of the Ottoman Empire and the shifting of alliances and powers that were taking place at that time. So there's a great deal of writing on this, and whether or not Turkey can, in a sense, discuss and even criticize itself and go through this internal exercise is a test as to how it will deal with the other nations of Europe and itself as a major player on the world stage should it become a full member of the European Union. And so there's a great deal at stake here and as we go along with this. The Foreign Secretary, Jack Straw, the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain, has said that the meetings that begin today are a very crucial for the future of the European Union. He says, I don't want to contemplate what failure would be. It would represent a failure for the European Union, given the decision that was made last December to invite Turkey for talks. And so at least the British understand that they must go forward with this and let things take their natural course and see what happens. But there, at least Great Britain is committed to having Turkey as part of the European Union. There was an interesting piece in the paper just last week as well. This is another internal matter within Turkey that reflects some of the challenges they are having in dealing with the modern world and especially the Western world and the clash of cultures and values that are there. Turkey is Muslim, and the religious values of that part of its population do make a significant impact there, and it does impact the women in Turkey. And they have begun to exercise, in some ways, a little bit stronger voice. Just last week, the Karen Hughes, the Undersecretary of State that has been designated by President George Bush to help out, to polish the image of America abroad, and especially in the Arab world, the Muslim world, the Middle East, was in Turkey, and she was talking about American values and American policy, and she had encountered some rather angry reaction from a group of women who were very upset over the United States policy in the Middle East, particularly Iraq, and since our invasion with Iraq at that time. But she was met with a great deal of opposition in a meeting with a group of women who had little desire, it seems, to mince words with American policy in the Middle East. One woman who stood up in that particular meeting said, "War makes the rights of women completely erased, and poverty comes after war, and women pay the price." Secretary Hughes was, it seemed by the report, was pained at what she had to listen to and endure during that time and tried to make some explanation for what the country's policy is, and she said that you're concerned about war and no one likes war, Hughes went on to say, but to preserve the peace, sometimes my country believes war is necessary. And again, the woman protesters shot back, war is not necessary for peace. Now, perhaps this does not represent all of the women in Turkey, but many at least are beginning to assert an interest and to speak up for on issues, not only for women's rights, but for many issues that they feel are very important to them as women and to their role in Turkish society and Turkey's role in the world and especially there in the Middle East. So it's important that we be watching the negotiations that begin today. Now, as I said at the beginning, these negotiations are set in one way to go on for 10 years. And a lot can happen in 10 years in terms of the leadership of the various nations of the European Union and Turkey itself and the politics of the world. My feeling is it's probably not going to take 10 years to settle this question, but it is a very important question that is facing the European Union and the Middle East and the Union's role on the world stage at this time. Turkey's goal is to be a full member of the European Union. Now, it's important perhaps we ask what other goals that country might have in that area, which is geographically closer to Cairo than it is to Brussels, and that is, of course, Muslim, but it is not Arab. Turkey has always been a bridge to other nation to between the East and the West, and has had a very important role there. A few months ago, a columnist in the New Republic, Hassan Fatah, was speculating about the Turkish foreign policy under the current Prime Minister Erdogan and some of the changes that are taking place in Israel, in Turkey, and especially with Turkey's relationship with Israel. He saw that there was a dramatic change in Turkey's position toward the state of Israel. Going on, he said, for a long time, Turkey was Israel's reliable Islamic partner in the region, buying arms worth $3 billion from Israel in the 1990s that were used largely against the Kurdish insurgency within their borders. And since Prime Minister Erdogan took office, relations had reached a low point with Turkey, whereas Turkey is joining the choir of Arab criticism of Israel, which Israel views as being anti-Semitic. So there had been a shift in Turkish relations with the state of Israel since Prime Minister Erdogan has come into power. And since the death last year of Palestinian chairman Yasser Arafat, some prominent Palestinian leaders have wondered whether the Turkish model of a Muslim country with a democratic, secular state government might not be the role model for their own people. So Turkey has been getting a great deal of scrutiny, not only from Europe, but also from some of the other Arab countries there in the Middle East as to their policies, their model, and the impact that that could have upon the Middle East and relationships there in the coming years is an interesting one to watch. Just how would adding the Muslim country of Turkey with its capable and efficient military forces affect European Union relations with the greater international community, especially in the Middle East? Well, to answer that question, we need to get a biblical perspective. When we go back to the book of Daniel and his prophecies, which are key to understanding the current situation in the Middle East and Europe and our world for that matter, we see there that in the second chapter of Daniel, where God gave a very troubling dream to King Nebuchadnezzar of ancient Babylon, he allowed the prophet Daniel to interpret that dream later on. You find this in chapter 2. The dream covered some major events that would occur in the Middle East and Europe from the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at that time in Daniel's day, until the return of Jesus Christ, yet in our future, when he will establish the kingdom of God on earth. In that dream, and according to that prophecy, and repeated again in Daniel chapter 7 is the prophecy, but we're looking just at this image in Daniel 2, we see that there are four great empires that would dominate those regions of the world: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And all of them were represented in that dream by one imposing image of a man. You see that in verses 31 to 33 of Daniel 2. A revived version of the Roman Empire, the last section of that image, represented by the image's feet and toes, is prophesied to come to power shortly before Christ's return. You see that in verses 41 through 45. The legacy of Imperial Rome, still very much the heritage of Europe, will supply the model for that end-time power's reach for glory. This final resurrection of the Roman Empire, like the original empire, will be centered in Europe. It appears that it can be seen today in embryonic form in the European Union. Now, that's not to say that all current EU nations will be part of this final configuration that the Bible discusses, but those that choose to participate will combine to form a powerful military force like ancient Rome. It's destined to push its power into the Middle East, subduing Jerusalem and the modern nation of Israel. We have to go to Daniel chapter 11, verses 41 to 45 to understand that. The words of Christ give us a warning that is also very important to understand, and it centers right on Jerusalem, the city that is holy to three great faiths. Christ said in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 20, he said, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near, They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That's a prophecy directly about Jerusalem and its future, and a very important one from Jesus Christ. So we come back and we look at a trend, and we need to ask, could Europe's increasing alliance that backs nations and peoples that are hostile to Israel, coupled with a growing economic and political power, be nudging it further along a road toward becoming a modern version of the Roman Empire, one that will extend its power and control even into the Middle East and Northern Africa? It's an important question, and it's an important trend that we are watching on this podcast, Longitude, as well as in the pages of World News and Prophecy, and on our blog on WNPOnline.org. You need to be keeping in touch with what we're talking about in these media forums here, as well as our other publications available to us, our Good News Magazine and some of our other booklets, such as the Middle East and Bible Prophecy, that takes you through a more detailed study of the Bible prophecies of what this very critical part of the world has in store for the future and what the impact will be for the world. We're looking at Turkey today. And Turkey, as in ancient times, there in its historic geographic position there in Asia Minor, has always been a bridge to empire. And this fascinating country straddles two continents, Europe and Asia. It's where East meets West. It's important to watch. It's through its doors, conquerors have come and gone and will rise again in the future. And so what is taking place today in Turkey, beginning the negotiations as to whether it will enter the European Union as a full member, has some direct impact and interest for us as we study Bible prophecy, as we study the events of the world today and look for the future. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.